This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
When we move in, my grandkids are going to be dancing.
Would you like to hear more of your favorite KPFT programs and less fundraising? Well, you can, but it's up to you to make it happen. You can buy back the drive and minimize on-air fundraising. You see, on the average, we receive about $20,000 in pledges per day during an on-air fund drive. If we can get listeners like you to send in your donation early, we can shorten the on-air drive by one day for every $20,000 we receive. With your pre-pledge gift, we can work toward ending the on-air drive a few hours or even a few days early. So send your gift today or make a secure contribution online at kpft.org before the on-air drive begins on May 8th. You can check on the progress of this campaign at kpft.org. Thank you for your continued and generous support of KPFT Houston.
This is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbian, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening here in Houston for Queer Voices. This is Jack Falinski.
And J.D. Doyle.
And Jennifer Renee.
And Glenn Holt.
Tonight,
it's a very music-oriented show.
It's a very J.D. night tonight.
Well, yeah, that too. We have a special interview at the top of this hour with an artist from Australia named Martine Locke. And in part of This Way Out will be Audiophile, which I help produce. And in the second hour, we're going to Queer Music Heritage with part two of Those Singing Drag Queens, which I premiered last month. Jack
or
is here grinning.
Drag Queens.
It's true. You have to listen. You have to pay attention.
That's right. I bet you can't name three singing drag queens, can you?
Well, and speaking of Queer Music Heritage, I actually had a call from the Houston Chronicle, and they were talking about doing an article on... they wanted to do an article on Twist. I tried to twist them to do more of an article on the stuff that you do.
Well, you didn't twist hard enough because they didn't contact
me
back.
Well, I guess not, because, you know, and I guess the angle of the article is probably more on commercial radio picking up queer music, which is great.
I had some things to say.
I'm sure you did. But I think even more so than that is the fact that you do an incredible job of putting together history segments of people doing queer music that been going on a lot longer than commercial radio carrying stuff.
Oh, yeah. In fact, with last month's show on Those Singing Drag Queens, one of my earliest songs was 1926. So, yes.
Recorded.
Yes, recorded.
Wow.
Drag queen recorded 1926, a Canadian artist.
Well, I know you're going to be going to your interview very shortly. Where's that interview coming from?
She's in San Francisco, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, she's not in Australia. So Glenn's not calling Australia. It's station management.
<Yeah. laughs> Although it's a lot cheaper than it used to be. But I did want to mention one thing. The HRC Gala in Houston is this Saturday at 6 p.m. at the Hilton Americas Hotel. And that's downtown at 1600 Lamar Street. It looks like it's going to be a fabulous event. It's a little bit pricey, of course, because it is a big fundraiser. But there's going to be a number of really great people there. Local celebrities are doing an auction, which they usually do on this. And it's usually a rather big event. I think there's like 500-600 people somewhere around there that shows up.
It's supposed to be
incredible.
Yeah. A lot of beautiful people all dressed up and beautiful.
And actually, I'm going to be there, but I'm going to be behind the curtain.
You are? So. Yes. Don't talk to the man behind the curtain. Is that what you're saying?
Right, by popular demand. And I wasn't here last week because I was rather sick, but probably because I was outside most of the day on Sunday. Sunday was the bunny party, which was pretty incredible. They had a great turnout, and that's a big fundraiser for a lot of community events.
Okay. I mentioned just quickly, my interview at the top of this hour is with Martine Locke. She's an Australian artist. And before we get to the meat of the interview, I want you to hear some of her music. I've got a track lined up from her album called On the Verge, and I love this track. It's called Alleluia.
If there's one thing I should have known by now, your hate has grown. If there are two things I could have seen, one would be you, the other me. In all tragic life, life. Hallelujah. Life. Hallelujah. This love is here. Say hurtful, hateful lies. The name is still the same, but the rules have all been changed. So come along, all stand aside. In all its glory, in all its glory, love alone is what survives. Faces now, 'cause we're not leaving soon. This is love, this is truth, this is me not being you. In all my glory, in all my glory, beautiful, wondrous life.
love that. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices, and that was Martine Locke with Alleluia from her new album, latest album called On the Verge. I believe we have Martine on the line.
Indeed you do, J.D.
Oh, welcome to Queer Voices.
Oh, thank you.
Now, Martine and I have not met, but we will this weekend because she's going to be in town doing a couple different performances that I'm looking forward to. Let me get to the details of that so we can repeat them later.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be doing one of the Diva House concerts this Friday night. That's the 28th. That's at the Gay GLBT Community Center. I'm still used to calling things Gay Community Center. Sorry. That's at 3400 Montrose, Suite 207. And 10% of the proceeds to that concert are going to KPFT, which
right.
is pretty cool.
It is.
And the reason that she mainly came to town this weekend was for the Houston International Festival. And Christy Claxton, who we had on last week, it brought her and a number of artists in for the Peace on the Porch stage. And there's some top-notch acts lined up for that.
There is indeed.
Martine, tell me about your background a little bit.
Wow, that's how long have you got?
Well, your musical background.
My musical background. Well, I was playing in Australia. I started playing music in the church, actually, believe it or not, and was doing a lot of traveling around and then left doing that and went into playing with a group called the Velvet Janes. It was myself and another woman, and we spent about 6-7 years
And about 4 albums.
Yeah, and touring solidly around Australia, which, you know, you kind of go to 7 cities and you're done. You know? So we spent a lot of time going around in circles. And then I decided I wanted to move here and decided as well at the same time that I was going to go solo. And have been doing that for the past 2.5 years.
So are the Velvet Janes still a group or not a group? Or?
We are. We mostly do work in Australia. So I go back to Australia once every year, normally around summer, mm-hmm. summer in Australia. And
Because I saw on their website some tour dates. I said, okay.
Yeah, which happened in February and March of this year. We just finished the last set of touring and start again in November. So... and that's great. You know, it's great to go back and do that. And I'm also, when I go home now, trying to do some solo work and just introduce that portion of what I do.
What prompted you to start going out on your own solo albums?
You know, mostly it was that the other half of the Velvet Janes didn't really want to tour here quite so much. The trip over, she was commuting, so it was a hell of a commute for her. And she was a bit tired of it. And also because I was going to be here full-time, I knew that I needed to do other things musically. And it was pretty scary to begin with, actually. And I had a friend who came to visit me from Australia and was appalled that I wasn't doing more solo work and that I didn't have a website for myself. And she really kicked it into being for me, which was great.
And so when was your first solo album? What year?
You know, I did a Christian album, believe it or not. Not many people know about that. I try to hide it.
Well, I didn't see it on your site.
Yeah, good. I shouldn't have just said anything. I just should have kept going. I think it was 2003, I think it was, when Fly was released.
Uh-huh.
That was I call that my first official solo album.
And, okay, you got a new one. Tell me about the new album.
Oh, On the Verge. On the Verge is 10 tracks, and I would like to think that it's probably the most honest work I have done to date, because every single song on that album, and without sounding hokey, every one of those songs is a reflection of part of who I am. Which was really phenomenal for me to sit back and look at that and to see how honest I was able to be in my songwriting, probably for the first time ever, to be that completely honest and to put so much of myself into my songs. And that's what it reflects for me.
The title of it is On the Verge, and that's not the name of any of the tracks, so what are you on the verge of?
You know, it's so funny, because the way that actually started was we have, in Australia, we have what they call Verge Shopping Day, which the Verge in Australia is the sidewalk. And so every year, the council, the local council, will come around and pick up furniture that's too big to for people to dispose of. And you have that here. I've seen it done before, but I'm not really sure what you call it. And when I was in university, we called that Verge Shopping Day because it was the day we could all go out and fill our houses with free furniture.
So this was things people wanted to get rid of and have hauled away.
Exactly right.
So people could help themselves.
So the morning of the photo shoot for On the Verge, it was 5 a.m. in the morning, and I was driving down to the ocean, because that's where we were doing the photo shoot in Western Australia, and I saw this lounge chair on the side of the road, and I knew I had to have it, so I stopped the car and tried to jam it into the back of the car and took it down to the middle of the ocean and dumped it into onto
yes,
a reef.
Yes, that's the one on the cover of your album.
That's right. So it started off at that, and, you know, it really does have many meanings for me because it is. It's on the verge of something new. It's me stepping off the edge in many ways is the way I look at it, so... And sometimes it's on the verge of being a little bit insane as well, I think.
How is your solo work different from that that you did with the Velvet Janes?
I think, obviously there's only one voice. So Velvet Janes, we do a lot of really big harmony songs because our voices, from the moment we started singing together, were perfectly blended. So we spent a lot of time really working that, and I think my style, I think I'm probably the rockier part of the Velvet Janes. I think that's what I would bring to the group. So I think that's what I'm trying to develop more of, standing on my own two feet.
Okay, let me ask that a different way. How do you think your music has evolved since you did your first solo album?
Oh, wow. I think it's become more honest. I've become less afraid to talk about things that matter to me. And I think musically I'm still trying to find my feet with it and trying to be brave enough. Because, you know, if you're a sensitive little thing like I can be, and like so many musicians can be, it can be a scary thing to stand up and say, this is who I am, and this is what I think, and this is what I believe, and this is part of my journey. And just be gentle with it.
I read one quote. I Googled you, naturally.
Oh.
And I read one quote that this person called you fiercely talented.
Oh, interesting.
I said, that doesn't sound too meek and gentle.
You know, I have a bit of everything going on in me. I think I have a bit of that extrovert and a bit of the introvert. And I think underneath my extrovert, I still struggle with wanting people to accept me and wanting people to like what I do, and, you know, but then there's the other part of me that says, screw that, you know. So I'm probably just confused.
Okay, you've lived in the U.S. for what, a couple of years now?
I have. I've been coming backwards and forwards now for 4 years.
Okay, how do you think living here has affected the sensibility of what you bring to your songwriting?
Well, it's given me more things to think about, I think. You know, living in Australia, you can be pretty complacent about a lot of really big issues because it is such an easy lifestyle. And coming here and being faced with a president who, you know, is making choices that don't reflect me or anyone else around me, and that actually really inflict on my life has been the first, you know, that's been the first time I've ever really had to experience that. And I don't know if I'm just getting older and becoming more aware of things or if it really is just the first time in my life where I've been faced with such drastic differences.
Is this album more political for you?
I think political in the sense of saying, you know, I'm a woman who's in love with a woman and get over it.
I noticed a couple songs on the album had lyrics that were, you could say they're lyrically gay.
Uh-huh.
And is this the first time you've done that on this album?
It is. Okay. It is. And in fact, it's the first time I've done it on any album, I think, because I remember when I was recording Fly, I had lyrically at least one song I can think of that made reference to it more. And the man that was engineering my album, when I got to that point, all those points in the song, he stopped me and he said, you know, are you sure you want to put this in? And of course I got scared and said, oh no, maybe you're right. Maybe I shouldn't put it in. Whereas this time, even if somebody said that to me, I'd say, of course I want to put it in.
Yeah, I've had some artists tell me that their friends cautioned them not to be out lyrically in their music.
Yes. Yes, and, you know, I haven't had so many people like that here in the U.S., but I definitely had people like that in Australia who were scared for me, I think, more than anything.
Were these relatives, other artists, people with a record company, or...
A bit of everything, actually, mm-hmm. friends, and the one particular man that had said something about that one song to me when I was recording Fly was thinking from a commercial standpoint. He was like, you know, you're probably not going to get this song on the radio, and you might not have any record company interest, and I looked at him and I said, but I'm not actually trying to achieve that by doing it. Unfortunately, I still listen to him, and but I won't do it again.
So how's it worked out so far, do you think?
I think it's worked out great. I really do, because, you know, like Hallelujah, that song, it started because of my church background, and after 15 years of being involved in the Pentecostal church in Australia and falling in love with a woman and losing everything overnight, and I go out and I tell people that story before I sing that song, and the amount of times, every single time I sing that song, actually, I will have people coming up to me afterwards and saying, with tears in their eyes, I've experienced that as well.
That's almost the answer to, I guess, my next question. Uh-huh. What song brings the most audience reaction?
Oh, I think that one, and If I Were a King, as well, and even Rather Be as well, for all different reasons. But those three songs, particularly, have had a great response from people, live and off the CD.
Okay, we've got just a couple more minutes. I want to make sure people know where you're going to be this weekend.
Right.
Again, you're going to be at the Diva House concert at the Houston GLBT Center. That's at 3400 Montrose, Suite 207. There is a charge, but 10% of that's going to be donated to KPFT. There's a charity that the Diva concerts pick every time. But I guess the biggie this Saturday, you'll be mm-hmm. at the Houston International Festival.
Yep,
it's a stellar lineup. You'll be with Sharon Boucher.
Yep.
You're on second in the lineup at 2:15. Natalia Zuckerman is after you. I've seen her. She's wonderful.
Yes.
Ginger Lay is finishing up. I've not seen her. I'm looking forward to that. And I don't want to slight Sunday's lineup, which is also very good. Beth Wood, Julie Lloyd, Adika Lukit and Susan Gibson.
Right.
And again, that's at the Houston International Festival. You can get information on that at www.ifest.org. We're going to go out with another track from your album On the Verge. And the one I picked, I forgot the title of it. Track one. What's the title of that one, Martine?
It's a Greyhound quiz. Greyhound Bus. Track one.
Is Greyhound Bus.
Yeah.
We're going out. We want to thank you for joining us, Martine. We're going to hear
JD.
Greyhound Bus from On the Verge.
Down, far away from this one-legged town. the same.
Are having a little bit of technical difficulties. We're going to go to This Way Out as soon as we can. But in the meantime, Jennifer, I think you had a few announcements.
Oh.
This is called stretching.
This is called stretching? Well, actually, a couple of things I wanted to talk about is the GLBT Political Caucus memberships. Those of you interested in being part of the active part of the GLBT community, can join the GLBT Political Caucus, and that's you can go to Houston, that's hglbtpc.org, and our first meeting is on is that the 5th?
It's the first Wednesday of the month.
First Wednesday of the month, and I was just trying to think of the day. No, it's the 3rd. 3rd of May.
Cinco de Trio, something like that?
Something like that.
No. Trio de Mayo.
Trio de Mayo, that's it.
And there's going to be a very interesting speaker this month. It is Steven Kleinberg, if I got the name correct.
Yes, Steven Kleinberg.
He is going to be talking about some of the research he's doing in... And I remember Maria talking about it, but basically he's done a lot of research on the different minorities in the community and how the demographics are changing. Of course, we all know they are, but he's going to be a lot more specific about it.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's something we need to identify, that it's the demographics of all the areas are changing. Houston's a city in flux and change. Some people would like it to change a different direction, but for us, it's changing in the right way.
I want to live in a blue state.
No kidding.
You know, actually, Houston is a blue city.
Right.
Barely. Harris County is red. But, you know, it's really interesting. There is an article now in the Rolling Stone with the title, Worst President Ever? Rather interesting. I mean, I've been saying this for a while, that George Bush is the worst president.
Oh, yes.
With so many things that he's doing, the economy, the war, ecology, of course, our issues.
There's a new musical off-Broadway called Bush is Bad.
Really?
Right, I've ordered the soundtrack, yes.
Oh, that's, Maybe stay tuned. Maybe you could break our rule a little bit, and if the music's good, and maybe play some of that.
Well, there are a couple that are gay related, so
that's even better.
Yes. Right. What was the name of it?
Bush is Bad.
Oh.
That should be easy to remember.
Yes.
Just BB.
Well, there's a whole bunch of them. There's Bushwhack, which is a book by Molly Ivins, and her latest book, I believe, is called Who Let the Dogs In? Her books are basically her the articles she writes. She's such a great writer. She's not in the Houston Chronicle, but she's actually she's in the River Oaks Tribune.
Is she really?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes. Yes.
Do we have a pledge drive coming up in the near future?
We have one coming up in May, and this time, this cycle, we will be asking people for 3 weeks to pledge. It's a new KPFT. Well, we're pledging more.
I'm sure my brother from Ohio will call in. By the way, this is his birthday. Happy birthday, Mike.
Well,
he's one of our very loyal listeners.
He is. Despite of all of us, he listens to
us. Yes,
yes.
Well,
we're going to do birthdays. Rita has a birthday tonight. Happy birthday, Rita.
And we're not there yet. Do we have some? We have some music, don't we? We should have some music.
Yeah, we can play another Martine if you like.
That was track 4 from Martine Locke, called "Rather Be." And that was Martine Locke from her album On the Verge. And now, please stay tuned for This Way Out.
Self-government is our right, a thing born in us at birth, a thing no more to be doled out to us or withheld from us by another people than the right to life itself, than the right to love our kind.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Belgium equalizes adoptions, but Massachusetts ignores church bias, the execution and legacy of Sir Roger Casement, and a rockin' good time in the audiophile. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
Rick Watts.
And I'm Kathy Sanchez.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending April 22nd, 2006. The Belgian Parliament has passed legislation to grant adoption rights to same-gender couples equal to their heterosexual counterparts. The lower house approved the measure in December, and with two abstentions, it narrowly passed by one vote this week in the Senate. Gay and lesbian couples won the right to legally marry in Belgium in 2003, but only heterosexual couples or single people had previously been allowed to adopt. Mieke Stessens of the Belgian Federation of Gays called it a memorable day for the children of gays. Finally, they earned the right of a worthy legal link with both their parents. Elsewhere in Europe, same-gender couples can adopt in the Netherlands, Spain, Sweden, and England and Wales. In Germany and Denmark, adoption by lesbian gay couples is limited to the partner's biological children.
But in the U.S., Roman Catholic agencies in Massachusetts are being allowed to reject gay men and lesbians as adoptive parents, even though that's a clear violation of the state's anti-discrimination laws. The Massachusetts Department of Early Education, which regulates adoption agencies, says it won't act on any charges of discrimination because Governor Mitt Romney has proposed legislation that would allow agencies to reject gay and lesbian applicants on religious grounds. We're going to wait and see how the legislation plays out, the agency's general counsel told the Boston Globe. Romney proposed the bill after Catholic Charities of Boston announced last month that it was ending its adoption services entirely because it couldn't reconcile state law with church teachings that consider adoption by gays and lesbians gravely immoral.
But the center-left coalition led by Romano Prodi has been officially declared the winner by Italy's Supreme Court in last week's national elections, despite charges of voting irregularities by outgoing Conservative Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi. Berlusconi had enjoyed strong support from the Vatican, so his defeat is seen by some as a sign of diminishing papal influence in Italian politics. During the campaign, Prodi promised to introduce civil partnership legislation if he became the new prime minister. There will be at least a few lawmakers pushing him to fulfill that campaign promise, as openly gay Giampaolo Silvestri was elected to the parliament from the Green Party, as was bisexual Green Party chair Alfonso Pecoraro Scagno. Gay activist Franco Grillini won election with the Democrats of the Left, and out-lesbian Titi De Simone was elected along with Europe's first transgender MP, Vladimir Luxeria, for the Communist Refoundation Party.
Nine men who spent nearly a year in a Cameroon prison on suspicion of homosexuality have been released, the San Francisco-based International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, or IGLHRC, reported late this week. They say the verdict was announced during a quick trial in the capital city of Yaoundé, where the defendants were cleared of all charges. They were part of a group of men arrested last May at a nightclub thought to be frequented by gays and lesbians. 11 men remained in detention, reportedly because they were too poor to hire lawyers. Two of them were released in February for lack of evidence. While nothing can return to these men the year of their lives spent locked in a cell, said IGLHRC Senior Coordinator for Africa, Carrie Allen Johnson, we are hopeful that the rule of law and respect for human dignity are reemerging as basic principles of human rights in Cameroon. The African nation has been in the spotlight in recent months after three tabloid newspapers published sensationalized stories about homosexuality and lists of celebrities and government officials alleged to be gay. Homosexual acts are punishable by up to 5 years in prison there.
The Iranian government continues to sanction executions of gay and bisexual men on trumped-up charges of rape and kidnapping, according to a new report issued this week by Simon Forbes of the UK-based queer human rights group Outrage, which urges other countries not to deport queer Iranian refugees. The nine-month investigation, Outrage spokesperson Peter Tatchell said, is based on information from credible, verified sources inside Iran. It provides clear evidence of homophobic honor killings, arrests, torture, and executions. The report documents lynchings by Iran's security forces, secret hangings in prison, and internet entrapment through foreign-based online gay dating agencies. Stories about such murders in the Islamic Republic of Iran are not new, but this may be the first comprehensive report about them. As we told you last week, the Dutch immigration minister established a moratorium on her threatened deportation of lesbian-gay Iranians, pending a government investigation of conditions for gay and lesbian people in Iran. The UK, EU, and US should permanently halt the deportation of lesbian and gay Iranians, Tatchell urged. So long as Iran criminalizes same-sex relations, it will not be safe for gay people to return to Iran.
As we've also reported, lesbians and gay men in Iraq are increasingly being targeted with violent attacks, kidnappings, and murder by religious fundamentalists in that war-torn country, and the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission this week called on the United States government to do something about it. Executive Director Paula Edelbrick, who's written to the U.S. State Department about the situation, issued a statement saying, "We believe it is the responsibility and obligation of the United States, considering its present involvement in Iraq, to protect and support the most vulnerable and marginalized populations being targeted for this violence. We expect that the U.S. State Department will condemn these acts, as it recently has condemned homophobic acts in Nigeria and the United Arab Emirates," she says, "because leaders who condemn such brutality have the power to stop it."
South Africa's Cape Argus newspaper reported this week on the execution-style murders of two well-known gay men. 28-year-old Brett Golden, who starred in the MTV comedy Crazy Monkey, and 27-year-old Richard Bloom, a designer for the Cape Town-based men's label Maze Clothing. The two men were reportedly found naked except for their socks, with single gunshots to the head. While it's not yet clear if homophobia played a role in their killings, Glenn DeSwart of the Triangle Project said the Cape Town queer community has been traumatized by the brutal murders, which for some have evoked memories of a similar execution-style Sizzlers massacre of 9 gay men in 2003.
Police probing the vicious assault on two CBS TV network news producers visiting the Caribbean island of San Martin earlier this month have taken a suspect into custody. Americans Dick Jefferson and Ryan Smith were attacked outside a bar by several men shouting anti-gay slurs who viciously beat them with tire irons. Jefferson was hospitalized with head and back injuries but has since returned to work, while Smith is still hospitalized with possible brain trauma and is being treated for aphasia, a disorder which makes speaking difficult. San Martin Chief Prosecutor Taco Stein told reporters this week that two men had been picked up by police, one who has since been released and another who is still in custody. "This guy is talking," Stein told reporters, "and according to the information he's giving us, we expect to arrest at least three other men." He has thus far refused to say anything more about the suspect, however, or to provide further details of the investigation. "One witness does not make a case," Jefferson told CBSNews.com this week. "There are many people who saw this happen," he said, adding that at least 25 people watched the attack but did nothing to intervene. It began in the early morning hours of April 6th when Jefferson and Smith were standing outside a bar with several friends. Shortly after Smith got a hug from a friend while comforting him over the recent death of a relative, Jefferson said, "A white car came screaming out of nowhere and attempted to run us down. One came towards me with a tire wrench, and the next thing I know, I'm waiting for the ambulance."
And finally, also expressing concern about ongoing violence against LGBT people in the Caribbean and in Latin America is Dr. Mirta Rosas, director of the Pan American Health Organization. Recounting last year's anti-gay murders in Jamaica of that nation's leading AIDS activist, Steve Harvey, and of Octavio Acuña Rubio, a psychologist and well-known human rights and gay activist in Querétaro, Mexico, Dr. Rosas also cited a recent NGO report issued by the government of Brazil documenting the murders of 2,092 gay men and lesbians in that country between 1963 and 2001. "Why should the Pan American Health Organization care about these crimes?" she rhetorically asked in a statement released this week. "Because hatred against homosexual men is not only a threat to human rights, the right to the sexual orientation of one's choice, but to life itself," she wrote. "We know that homophobia contributes to the spread of HIV. Fear of being stigmatized often prevents homosexual men from seeking HIV testing, counseling, and treatment. This situation was precisely what those murdered activists were trying to change. There is, however, some good news," she continued. "The governments of Brazil, Mexico, and Colombia recently launched mass media campaigns against homophobia. In Argentina and Chile, this theme has been featured in poster campaigns and on television. The messages were well received," Dr. Rosas concluded, suggesting that Latin machismo may now be more a stereotype than an irreversible mindset.
That's News Wrap for the week ending April 22nd, 2006. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written this week by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Kathy Sanchez.
New York Energy, Florida Freedom, and San Francisco Survival will rock your world in this month's audio file later in the program. Homosexuality was considered an illness early in the 20th century when gay humanitarian and controversial Irish patriot Sir Roger Casement was enthusiastically recording the intimate details of his sexual escapades in several personal diaries. Despite the exemplary human rights work on two continents that got him knighted, his advocacy for an independent Ireland led to his being put on trial in Britain for treason. In the fourth and final part of this special biodrama, written and produced by Hugh Young and narrated by Barry Empson, the publication of Casement's scandalous diaries seal his fate.
"They took Sir Roger prisoner and sailed for London town. Tower. They laid him as a traitor to the crown.
We present The Broken Heart of Ireland, The Life and Death of Sir Roger Casement, Part 4, To Love Our Kind.
For bringing German rifles to their lonely Bannerstrand.
We've told you how Casement saved the blacks of the Congo Free State and the Indians of the Amazon from slavery and worse, and how he went to Germany to try to get arms and men to lead an Irish rebellion, and when that fell through, to prevent it. Instead, he was arrested in Ireland and put on trial in England. But he was doomed by a hostile press, judge and jury, a weak and self-serving defense counsel, but doomed most of all by his diaries, in which he'd recorded in juicy detail tricks from Kinshasa to Rio to Dublin. Three diaries had been found months before at his Belfast lodgings and passed on to the prosecution. Three pages, dating from 13 years before, were torn out and photographed, with entries like,
"Huge tram inspector, stiff as sword and thick and long. I'd meet enormous nine."
The exuberance of these entries is amazing, considering that Casement himself considered homosexuality to be a terrible disease, and there was nothing like a gay community as we know it. Yet he enjoyed his many partners with plenty of affection. Even Adler Christiansen, who had betrayed him in Europe and now offered to give evidence against him. The diaries were mentioned in court, but misleadingly. Effie Smith discussed the harmless diary found on Casement as if it were one of the explicit ones that all the jury by now had heard of. The outcome was inevitable. Casement was convicted of treason, and the death penalty was mandatory. But first, Casement was asked, "What have you to say for yourself? Why the court should not pass sentence and judgment upon you to die according to law?"
"My Lord Chief Justice, I may say at once that I protest against the jurisdiction of this court in my case on this charge, and the argument I am now going to read is addressed not to this court, but to my own countrymen."
Casement's enemies predictably despised the speech. Smith walked out, but his remaining lawyer noted that it held the attention of the entire court from first to last. And one commentator, Wilfred Blunt, thought it the finest document in patriotic history.
"The government of Ireland by England rests on restraint and not on law. And since it demands no love, it can evoke no loyalty. If I did wrong in making that appeal to Irishmen to join with me in an effort to fight for Ireland, it is by Irishmen and by them alone I can rightfully be judged. Self-government is our right, a thing born in us at birth, a thing no more to be doled out to us or withheld from us by another people than the right to life itself, than the right to feel the sun or smell the flowers or to love our kind."
Our kind. Doesn't your heart go out to a man who could say that from the dock of the Old Bailey with the judge about to sentence him to death and knowing that the diaries were being circulated? One of the judges had a facial tic that looked like a ghastly laugh as the death sentence was delivered. There was an appeal, but since it was the same argument as before, it was hopeless. There remained the hope of a reprieve by the Home Secretary or an appeal to the House of Lords, but that required the consent of the Attorney General, and he was F.E. Smith. The date fixed for execution left only 2 weeks for a reprieve campaign, but messages began pouring in from Ireland, from the Congo, from the Amazon, from the USA. A motion was carried in the Senate, but Woodrow Wilson, an Orangeman and a Presbyterian, refused to support it on the pretext that Casement was not American, and he delayed a second resolution until Casement was dead. William Randolph Hearst wrote an editorial from a hospital bed to support reprieve. Much important support collapsed, though, when supporters saw the diaries. The villain here is the legal adviser to the Home Office, Ernley Blackwell, who had a malignant hatred of Casement. He arranged for prints of the diaries to be shown to anyone who might have agitated for Casement's reprieve, including King George V, who said of another gay man,
"I thought men like that shot themselves."
It was Blackwell who suggested to Cabinet that the diaries be used to smirch Casement's reputation after his execution and so prevent him from becoming a martyr. We now know that two of that cabinet were homosexual themselves. One later fled from scandal into exile. The other committed suicide.
Is the chaplain getting the case good?
The Archbishop says you must first express sorrow for any scandal you may have caused by your acts, public and private.
I do not.
Then you know that tomorrow you will die in mortal sin.
Cardinal Bourne is trying to make me betray my soul.
May the Lord have mercy upon you.
Amen.
But it was remembered that as a child, Casement had been baptized a Catholic, and he only had to make a general confession to be absolved. So, on August the 3rd, 1916, Roger Casement, his knighthood stripped from him, went to the gallows. As the priest said,
he feared not death. He marched to the scaffold with the dignity of a prince.
And the hangman said,
he was the bravest man it fell to my unhappy lot to execute.
When the prison bell tolled to announce his death, some people outside cheered in derision. He was buried, according to custom, in Pentonville prison grounds.
No cairn-shaped mound on a high windy hill with Irish earth the hero's heart enfolds, but a burning grave at Pentonville the broken heart of Ireland holds.
And it wasn't until 1965 that his remains were returned to Glasnevin Cemetery near Dublin. And what did he achieve? In the Congo, probably more than he knew. His report prevented much of the exploitation that took place in adjacent countries. In the Amazon, not a great deal. Slavery was found there as late as 1940, forced labor as late as 1970. Ireland is still neither united nor free, though much of the credit for what freedom she has is Casement's. Nor can he be said to have struck a blow for gay liberation. Yet this man, who lived and died for others, this Roger David Casement, was a gay man we can be proud of.
And I mean to free my countrymen on the lonely banner's strand.
This series was written and produced by Hugh Young.
It was presented by Barry Empson.
Sir Roger Casement's so-called Black Diaries continue to be a sore spot in Anglo-Irish relations for nearly eight decades. Many charge they were forgeries circulated by the British government to discredit him. The controversy was finally laid to rest in 2002 when an extensive forensic study ordered by the Irish government determined the diaries were indeed Casement's own.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres, and you're listening to This Way Out, the Gay and Lesbian International News Magazine.
Thank you.
That was without cue cards, people.
A power rocker spreads tranquility after the ghetto cowboy rolls out of Broadway, and broken band members form a new, all in this month's audiophile.
With a number of Broadway and off-Broadway shows under his belt, Kevin Cahoon is ready to rock out on his own. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
Filling in for Chris Wilson, I'm Pam Marshall, and you're listening to Audiophile. The debut album for Kevin Cahoon and Ghetto Cowboy is simply called Doll.
I wrote this album. It's got a real New York energy. It's a pop record. It's happy and joyful and liberating, but yet it's got something to say. It really is an album for anyone who's ever felt like they were on the outside or on the margins of society. This is an album for them.
Yeah.
about Doll by Kevin Cahoon and Ghetto Cowboy at www.kevincahoon.com. That's www.kevincahoon.com.
Orlando, Florida, Linda Nunez brings us her fourth album called Cry Mercy.
Cry Mercy is straightforward rock music, just unabashed power rock. Lyrically, I discuss topics that are significant to life, specifically my life, but that's what translates so well. I put the topics out there to deal with, recognized, and move past in order to, you know, hopefully find happiness at the end of the day. So I guess if you take nothing else from Cry Mercy, take the Nunez approach of free yourself to be yourself.
More about the album Cry Mercy at www.lindanunez.com. That's www.lindanunez.com.
Dan from San Francisco, and since two of the three members are gay, we wonder if there might be more to the X factor.
The guys are Colin, Chris, and Peter, and Colin partially attributes the naming of their debut album, Dear John, to that infamous genre of letters, but says there was more to it.
The new album is a bunch of songs that came about after a bunch of band breakups, and the three of us got together and created a wonderful group of songs that are catchy enough to make people dance and yet intelligent enough where we'll stick around for the rest.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage.
Hey, baby, Sashay Shante. This is RuPaul, Super Model of the World. And I have one thing to say.
You better work.
Thank you.
This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and welcome to a very special show. I'm calling it Those Singing Drag Queens. And no, I'm not talking about drag queens who lip sync. Our culture has a long history of drag artists or female impersonators who did indeed do their own singing. And this is actually part two of the story. Last month, I covered from the 1920s up through the late 80s. And this time, you'll hear about the last 15 to 20 years of this genre. And I might as well mention this now. My regular listeners know that I generally have two versions of my show. One is tailored for airing on Queer Voices, meaning it's limited to about 58 minutes. But the version at my website does not have that time constraint. That allows me to give longer versions of the songs and to play songs that, well, I just can't play on regular radio. And with drag artists, there's a number of songs like that. Okay, that's enough introduction, and I've not told you who opened the show. But if you follow gay culture at all, you already know. Supermodel is one of the biggest hits for RuPaul, who has been perhaps the most successful drag artist of the last 20 years. Who would have thought a drag queen 6 foot 4 inches tall, in stocking feet, from Atlanta would end up with hit records, a TV show on VH1, and appearing in a number of movies? She's published her autobiography and has been a representative for a major makeup company. She's hosted a very popular radio show in New York City, and get this, a series of 6 dolls has just been released in her likeness. Now, she wasn't always the stunning persona that she is today. Her first recordings were for the Fun Tone label in Atlanta, and her image then was more punk drag, which was a little scary. Her first album was a soundtrack for a movie called Star Booty in 1986, and in the background we've been listening to a not-so-memorable 1987 release called Ping Ting Ting. Her breakthrough record was Supermodel in 1992, and I've put together the following medley of some of my favorite songs by her.
Once upon a time, there was a little German girl from the Brewster Project of Hamburg, Germany. At 15, she was discovered by a Der Wiener Schnitzel Corporation representative, and her modeling career took off. You better work, work, work. Und sie ran bei work, work, work. Und make love to the camera. It don't matter what you wear. They're checking out your self-affair. It don't matter what you do. Cause everything looks good on you. Strudelmodel. Free to be what you want. Free to love who you need. Everybody, you got the right to be free. So come on and let your love and shine, shine. Come on and let your love and shine, shine, shine.
I'm gonna go back, back, right to my room,
where my love can be found and my heart beats true.
I'm going back, back, right to my room,
to the time and the place coming back to you.
I'm going back, back, right to my room,
where my love can be found and my heart beats true.
I'm going back, back, right to my room.
I see you look at me and judge me with your eyes. Your words are meant to hurt and cut me down to size. Why must I explain to you? He loves me, I love him too. What on earth has that to do with you? So you criticize, do you realize I'm a person just like you? Not gonna run and hide just 'cause you decide. Your eyes and you will see that love is blind. How do I look?
Hey, this is RuPaul, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage on KPFT in Houston.
Woke up this morning. It's Friday. Looked in the mirror.
I just love RuPaul's music, and most of that medley was from the 90s. It started off with a humorous takeoff called Strudel Model, and then went to Free to Be, one of the highlights from the Wigstock soundtrack, followed by Back to My Roots. Snapshot came from the Foxy Lady CD. From her Christmas CD, Ho Ho Ho, came RuPaul the Red-Nosed Drag Queen. And we finished off with two from her latest CD from 2004, Red Hot. And those songs were Love is Love and Looking Good, Feeling Gorgeous. But the last 20 years of performing drag artists covered a lot more territory than just RuPaul. And I've got a special treat by an artist who's never released this recording or any other music recording. But she deserves a proper introduction.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked away across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way, shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side.
And the Holly Lou Reed was singing about was Holly Woodlawn, one of the few survivors of the world of Andy Warhol. She's written a book called A Low Life in High Heels, and in 1986, this live performance was captured by a video archivist named Nelson Sullivan. I want to thank one of my internet friends, Robert Coddington, for getting me permission from Holly to play this song and to host a video of it on my site. The song is the 60s hit by the Exciters, Tell Him.
Yeah.
Molly Woodlawn with an unreleased song from 1986. In the last 20 years of recordings by female impersonators, there's been a lot of dance music, and this next artist is mainly known for that. But that's not the case for this song. Her unlikely name is Pussy Tourette, and from her debut album from 1993 is the uncharacteristic song, I Think He's Gay.
I hope he's not a fag. I hope he's not a drag queen. I hope he's not a queer. I hope he's not a mistake. Although I have to say that with each passing day, I have a few more doubts. I think he's gay. He drives a Corbin Gale. I'm pink interior. Is that something just it makes mine seem inferior? In the hottest weather, he wears pants of leather. In the kettle, I think he's gay. Oh, if I...
And like on last month's show, in order to cover as many artists as possible, unfortunately, I will only be able to give you a taste of some of their songs. That was Lady Bunny from 1996 with Shame, Shame, Shame. But Lady Bunny is probably more known as the annual hostess of Wigstock. That event was captured in probably the best movie ever about drag in 1995. From it, here's Lady Bunny introducing Joey Arias.
Another living legend that Wigstock magic has brought back to life because it's a Wigstock favorite. Ladies and gentlemen, Joey Arias. Channeling Billie Holiday.
Who could resist a drag artist with a recording called Complete and Utter Country? Not me, certainly, and I've tracked down every recording I can find by this artist, who in her act says she's from Tennessee and calls herself Tina C. Get it? Tina C is the creation of Christopher Green, who lives in the UK, and I'll let Tina C introduce herself.
I'm Tennessee. And I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. Well, yes, I'm cheesy. The smile is squeaky clean. You can say that I'm too damn tough, but if you want sweetness, I got sugar enough. I'm Tennessee. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I may sound preachy, but y'all just got, I believe, that country music is finer than the Lord's holy fire. I get closer to God as my hair gets higher. I'm Tennessee. I'm Virgil
dressed me real fine, but all I got from my man was a denim A-line. I'm Tennessee, and I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. They are all saying, how can she be so womanly? Double N, double S, double G. Then I say, double N, double S, double G. From Nashville, double N, double S, double G. Yeah, double N.
Great. So I've been here about, what, 5-10 minutes, and I have not sung a sad song. Now, that is just no good, is it? That's what I do best. That's how we make our money. And just so y'all can, you know, have slightly sad, pathetic lives, finish relationships, come home late at night and listen to my sad country music songs. That's the role I fulfill. Just to give me a bit of information, anybody here been dumped recently? I ask this in such a sensitive, beautiful, caring way. No, isn't that great? Anybody done any dumping recently? No, nobody wants to admit that. Bastards, you know who you are. And this is a song I wrote about that phenomenon. And it's called, I Thought I Left You. What Are You Doing Alive? Thank you. It was the longest night, the moon my only friend. As I lay awake, knowing our love must end, I watched you sleep so happy while I was forlorn. But I was so brave, I left your bed at dawn. The next night in town, I was cruising around, wondering if in your own sorrows you had drowned. But there you were in some bar, larger than life. I thought I left you, what you doing alone? Well, it was 7 years later, my life was fine. You know, I had more lovers than handbags, more fun than spam. But that day we met in Sears with your pretty young blonde, I wanted to cry out, without knees where you belong. I left you in good faith that you would mourn for me, and forever you would live in misery. And now here you are a saying she's gonna be your wife. I thought I left you, but you knew it all. I thought I left you, but you do it like.
That one was called, I Thought I Left You, What You Doing Alive? And that is from Tina C's 1999 album, Live in Sydney. And if you listen to the internet version of this show, you can hear another song by her, which is my absolute favorite, but can't be played on the radio. Next is an amazing performer. From San Antonio, Jimmy James is one of the best of modern impressionists, ably capturing a wide variety of celebrities. My personal favorite is his Christmas album, which contains a hysterical reading of Betty Davis doing Feliz Navidad. But equally captivating is a medley from a CD he released in 1999 called The One in Many Voices of Jimmy James Live. The medley is called Eight Divas, and you'll marvel at how well he portrays these eight stars doing the same song.
Can't believe y'all still coming. The first time I came here was 1986, and y'all are still here. Thank you so much. First one to sing for you, the legendary Cher.
Never treat me sweet and gentle. My boy.
says I've got it bad, and that ain't good.
Miss Barbara Streisand.
Jimmy James has also had several very good dance song releases.
When I was born, my dear Ma called me Sonny, and I grew up feeling mighty confused. So I told Ma her Sonny felt funny, and my mama, she wasn't out the truth of the matter, and she cried for a minute or two. Then she said, son, wear dresses that flatter, and your mama will always love you. For it was God who made you a drag queen. He must have smiled on the day you were born. So son, let's sing an Ave Maria. He has blessed every dress you have worn.
That charming song, of course, was called Thank God He Made Me a Drag Queen, and is from a 1992 CD called Musical Selections from the Ridiculous Theater Company, which was a real company with a very rich history. I thought it would make a nice segue while I invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along by looking at photos of all the drag artists and their recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night, Sunday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. From 1999, one of the most amazing female illusionists is Steven Brinberg. For the last several years, he's been taking his show all over the world, but you can get a sample of it right here. From his CD, Steven Brinberg is Simply Barbara.
Funny. Did you hear that? Funny. Yeah, the guy said, honey. Keep them in stitches, doubled in half. And though I may be all wrong for the guy, I'm good for a laugh. I guess it's sense of humor. That's one thing you really need for sure when you're a funny girl. The fellas said a funny girl. Funny how it ain't so funny. Funny girl.
Next up, wouldn't you expect an artist who builds herself as the love child of Ethel Merman and Ernest Borgnine to be very talented? And Varla Jean Merman certainly is, with CDs and a DVD and movies and shows to keep her busy.
Reach out and touch somebody's man. Make this world a better place if you can. Reach out and touch somebody's man. Make this world a better place, and you can. Take a little time out of your lonely life to make love to a man who has a wife. Find a couple who own a home, make a pass at one, and maybe one day that home could be your own home. We can change things if we start growing. Well, don't you
reach out and touch somebody's name,
like in a novel by Jacqueline Susan. Reach out, you can touch. This world a bitter, bitty, bottom, bitter, better, better in you can. Find a couple who are deep in love for a three-way, and maybe you'll become the one that they're both thinking of. Seduce the man and get up the nerve to make him leave that boyfriend, 'cause that boyfriend has everything that you deserve. You're entitled. We can change things if we start growing. Why don't you? Oh, you gotta reach out, you gotta reach out and blow the touch. Somebody's man. All right, get up, single people. Get up wherever you are and touch the first man you see. Or touch him, especially if he's with somebody. Go ahead, you've got nothing to lose. And just think what you could gain. Take a chance. You know, you only get one shot at life, so live the daylights out of it. Remember, you'll be dead a lot longer than you'll ever be alive. So if life hands you a bunch of lemons, drink somebody else's lemonade.
So, Bala, how's your love life? You still a lesbian?
Chip off the old block.
Ooh, Varla, that hurts. But seriously, honey, tell Mama all about it.
It's raining. It's pouring. My love life is boring me to tears. After all of these years.
No sunshine. No moonlight. No star. Dust, no sign of romance. We don't stand a chance.
I always dreamed I'd find the perfect lover,
but he turned out to be like every other fag. But I love.
Well, from Varla's 2001 album, the very worst of Varla Jean Merman, came Reach Out and Touch Somebody's Man. And she got a cabaret buddy, Christine Zornick, to help her out on Enough is Enough. That one came from her latest CD, The White Swallow and Other Delights, which contains a number of songs that are delightfully evil. I'm bending the rules in featuring this next artist, since no recording of this song has been released. Comes from a DVD of a concert performance. But how could I resist Bette Davis singing Bette Davis Eyes, as done by Alfred Lewis from 2004. Much Too Short, from a mostly comedy routine on the DVD logically titled Alfred Lewis as Bette Davis. This next act, well, I adore them, and I'll let them sort of introduce themselves.
Dragapella, 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 Barbara Shockney's Barbarella, for drag fellas, Dragapella. We're hip and across and yet funny. Kids and sing Dragapella, more fun than Salmonella.
We're loved by gay and straight, so yeah, funny.
We're just like Sunny and Cher with our sunny.
Dragapella, 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 Dragapella,
The Kinsey Six, America's favorite Dragapella Beauty Shop Quartet. I've seen them several times and have become quite biased. They are terrific. Since 1997, they've issued 5 wonderful CDs that convey their extraordinary talent and humor. Not all the songs are ready for radio, but that's all the more fun. They've just signed a long-term performance deal in Las Vegas, and they should be great. I've put together a medley of some of my favorites by them.
If you ever see a show out west, nothing sweller than Dragapella, it's the best. Get your kicks from the group Kinsey Six.
Where the goys are, someone waits for me. Blonde hair that glows, a tiny nose, a strangely quiet family. Where the goys are can be a mystery. I've found church pews are filled with Jews. What goys in the sack?
When I was just a little boy girl, I asked my mother, what would I be? Will I wear makeup? Will I do drag? And drive a pink caddy? Mary Kay, Sarah, whatever you'll be.
wherever you'll be.
Just don't look more glam than me. Mary Kay Sarah.
On your motorbike, first you met a girl named Lynn. You had two dates, then you moved in. Maybe someday you'll have sex again, or make it with your ex again. Bung 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 bung.
Spring is here and my domestic partner is too. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We'll put a sign that says just married on our Subaru. We'll say I can't because we can't say I do. At a wedding ceremony worth money.
You see, we're going to the chapel, but we cannot get married. From Vermont to Minneapolis, no, we cannot get married. Gee, I really love you, but we cannot get married. Locked out of the chapel of love.
You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. Fundamental things of life, gay, straight, or bi. Gay, straight, or bi.
Do and do, do and do, ba do do and do and do and do, ba do do and do and do, ba do do.
Hey girl,
hey fella,
listen to a little Dragapella. Don't you know you can bet we're the world's first beauty shop quartet?
La 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 da da,
la 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 da da.
What's that noise?
Joy of joys!
It's a girl group
made of boys.
We're Vaselina,
Winnie,
Rachel,
and
we're the Kinsey Six.
Wah, 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 do, 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 do.
Come, lassies, come, lass, go, girls, and go, Nats.
We're a fruity,
naughty
party.
Get a taste of the Kinsey
Six.
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 I just love the Kinsey Six. And that medley, of course, does not do justice to the hilarious comedy their shows contain.
Welcome, everybody, to the Head Letters Show. I'm a big bone gal that the whole world should know. I'm glamorous and pretty, and I'll blow away your mind. So sit right back and just relax, you'll have a real good time.
Hedda Lettuce is another drag artist who has her own theme song. She regularly sells out her engagements in New York City and has had guest shots on a number of TV shows. So far as a vocalist, she's only been on various artist compilations, but there are a number of songs available for download at her site. One outstanding compilation she's on is called Marry Me, a benefit CD where some of the songs deal with the subject of gay marriage. On it, she appears in another guise as part of a duo with another New York City artist, Yolanda. And together, they are the Chixie Dicks. And I love their song, Marry Me.
Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum.
Feel the same, they say gay marriage just ain't right.
I'm not really sure what the Buddhists do believe. The next time that you see one, please ask them this for me.
Why don't you
marry me underneath the blue, blue sky?
Imagine.
so I heard.
People of color had to ride to show the world.
In 1969, we had a rider of our own. And in 2004, we're gonna keep it going strong.
Again, that was Head of Lettuce and Yolanda, the Chixie Dicks. The Marry Me compilation CD included a number of my favorite artists, like Mark Weigel, Veronica Klaus, RuPaul, Freddie Freeman, Peter Donnelly, Ari Gold, Daniel Cartier. Oh, I could go on. An excellent CD. But it included a drag artist new to me, Sade Pendarvis, doing a duet with Nicholas Ferrer on one of the best drag queen songs in history, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. My first chance to play it on Queer Music Heritage.
Ooh, ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby. If you need me, call me, no matter where you are, no matter how far. Just call my name, I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry, cause baby,
confess, I kept a little information from you there. I said it was done by a duet, Nicholas Ferrer and Sade Pendarvis. That's sort of true, but they're the same person. Good job. Had me fooled until I researched the CD.
This is Yolanda, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage.
I want to tell you more about Yolanda. She gave me a wonderful interview for my October of 2002 show, and for it, I asked her to describe her stage persona. She said it was a mixture between Dolly Parton, her mother, and Mae West, on acid. Well, I think she's much more than that. She's a singer-songwriter, performance artist, visual artist, radical fairy, drag queen, theater person, storyteller, legal Christian minister, and tarot card reader. Well, all that's from the bio on her website, but I think it all fits, and she well deserved the Out Musician of the Year honor she received by the Out Music Organization in 2003. My respect for her as an artist, activist, and a person has only continued to grow. I'm down to the end of part two of my special two-part show, Those Singing Drag Queens. And I admit, it's been one of my more ambitious projects for Queer Music Heritage, trying to do justice to about 80 years of performing drag artists. I knew that in no way could I cover them all, even in two radio shows. Fortunately, I've got a huge website that allows me to upload extended versions of my show. That, of course, can be found at www.queermusicheritage.com. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. I want to thank you all for listening, and this is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT Houston. I'm ending this show with another song by Yolanda, and I think it's a powerful one. In fact, you can see a video of it on my site. From an EP she released in 2002, here's Yolanda and Freedom.
My soul is crying. You know my soul is crying for like me and our individuality, our uniqueness in this world. Diversity is the key to unlock the mind. Yeah. Take a look inside, they're talking through. Leave the fear outside.
been listening to J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage, a feature presentation of Queer Voices. Queer Voices is heard each Monday at 7 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Networks station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles, and J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage, which is produced in Houston. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, and Jack Valensky, with remote correspondents Joan Devlin in Iowa and David Elliott in Washington, D.C. For more information about guests, events, and organizations mentioned in the show, visit queervoices.org. Some of the music you heard is listed or available on J.D. Doyle's website, queermusicheritage.org. Be sure to listen every Saturday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Would you like to hear more of your favorite KPFT programs and less fundraising? Well, you can, but it's up to you to make it happen. KPFT's next on-air membership begins May 8th. With your pre-pledge gift, you help shorten the on-air drive by 1 hour, 1 day, or even more, so we can get you back to the KPFT programming you enjoy. We can shorten the on-air drive by 1 day for every $20,000 we receive. We'll remove fundraising days and hours as quickly as you and other KPFT listeners buy them back. That's our pledge to you. So, send your gift today or make a secure contribution online at kpft.org before the on-air drive begins on May 8th. Remember, every gift makes a difference in getting back to KPFT's regular programming sooner. Thank you for your continued and generous support of KPFT Houston.
Houston Independent Media Center is pleased to continue our monthly film series of cutting-edge films on social justice issues with Three Black Panthers and The Last Slave Plantation, co-sponsored by Houston ABC. The screening will take place Monday, May 1st, 8 o'clock p.m. at Rice Cinema. Three Black Panthers and The Last Slave Plantation tells the gripping story of three men, former members of the Black Panther Party, known collectively as the Angola Three. We explore their extraordinary struggles for dignity, justice, and human rights while incarcerated in Angola Prison in Louisiana, one of the most brutal and racist prisons in the United States. This documentary film is produced by Texas filmmaker Jimmy O'Halligan, who will be present at the screening and conduct a discussion afterwards. Rice Media Center is located on the Rice University campus inside entrance number 8 on University Boulevard at Stockton Drive. Houston Indie Media receives fiscal sponsorship from Swamp. For more details, please see houston.indiemedia.org. This is KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. Back and smelling your blood now.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.